Blog Talk Radio.
Lightning flashing in the nearby sky. It was
early afternoon. The downpour lasted several minutes until the thunder clouds rolled by. Then the rain stopped. The sky cleared and the sudden wind blew through the trees. I opened my door and windows and felt the cool breeze against my face and arms. I breathed in deeply the dry, cool air. I wrote that today. If you go to my site, I've written a number of things recently. Like primarily, I've posted a lot of pictures, a lot of artwork that I've done. And I've been trying to introduce a trans-dimensional art and what it means and what it means to me. And most of what I do is digital art these days. I used to do a lot of graphics and a lot of print and drawings and so on, but I find it's so much easier to do these things from photographs. Take them from photos and take them from films and take them from so many things that I've done. And I realized that it's a different form of art, transdimensional form of art, where you interpret reality, which is what art is. But there's so many pictures and so many drawings, so many things that I do that I just can't put in words, I can, but I don't. But I did it this time around. Back in the end of June, June 30th, a couple weeks ago, I decided I would try to describe what my artwork is, and it's transdimensional art. And if you go onto my website, lasteelshow.org, and you look at what I've done recently, and you'll see all of this transdimensional art. You see all this artwork, all these pictures, and I display them beautifully. And I gotta thank my friend Rob Brenton for creating this website for me that allows me to express everything that I'm trying to do, And he did a wonderful job. He's my web designer, and I can't thank him enough. But I wanted to I want you to go to if you happen to go to my website, please look back to June 30th and the archives, and you'll notice. I'm going to read that article tonight because it expresses exactly what I feel my artwork is. And it's not only art, but it's my writing, my radio show, transdimensional radio, if you will, and what I'm trying to do and why. Transdimensional art is an artist's projection of a spiritual image, sound, color, or form. Every atom of our being is transcending into a higher vibratory dimension. Our thoughts are virtual and visual. Our entertainment is virtual. Cartoons and fantasies are virtual creations. Schools, teachers, and assignments are virtual. Lectures and documentaries seen and listen to on our computers or iPhones. Our social world is virtual on the internet, and our social groups are social networking sites. Our associations and acquaintances are international members of diverse cultures. Our information is retrieved globally and is transmitted globally via internet and television. Transdimensional art translates the transdimensional world into an art form. Transdimensional art is an art created. created by a transcending soul moving into a higher consciousness and spiritual dimension. We interpret the sights and sounds around us in a physical reality. We see a color or a shape or a light or dark shade. As an artist, I want to communicate. I want my audience to rise with me to the same vibratory field I project in the drawing, painting, article, essay, story, film, or song. Communicating in the realm of the spiritual world is a misunderstood art form and language that has been generalized through daily use without appreciation of its true significance. Transdimensional art is created by an artist who understands and appreciates his transition into self-realization. What we create transcends our physical dimension and projects the artist's soul and transcends the soul of the viewer of his art into a spiritual manifestation appreciated at the higher frequencies of mankind's ascending consciousness. The artist allows himself to be completely vulnerable, and that only truth is allowed to manifest through his art, regardless of how vulgar, crude, or eloquent it is represented. What the spirit sees and feels is what it must project, without mask or falseness. Being who we are is all we can be, and complete self-realization is what we are awakening to, transcending into. We have entered the first stages of the Aquarian Age. Our bodies and minds are transcending and adapting to the great cosmic changes happening all around us. As in every new era of mankind's awakening, he must find a new way to project and communicate and record his thoughts. The old methods of the Piscean Age are obsolete. Our access to instant communications has overwhelmed our physical senses. Our technology allows us to instantly communicate with who we want to. We can capture time and transcend space by sending photographs to one another instantly, to share our present reality with someone else in another town, state, or country. We can talk to our families, friends, and acquaintances any time of the day and night and receive new reports from around the world at the touch of a remote control or the stroke of a keyboard. Transdimensional art is the method of appreciating and reflecting what humanity is becoming and how we can create new symbols and languages and music to communicate with others as we all enter universal consciousness. There are no restrictions to transdimensional art except for the restrictions we place on our imagination. Transdimensional art represents the gateway to the spiritual dimension, which is where we came from, where we are returning to. As a transdimensional artist attempts to work in his medium, he appreciates the intense frequencies of vibration demanded of transdimensional art. The artist develops an appreciation for the diversity of the transdimensionalism and its power to enhance beauty and truth without restriction. Transdimensionalism allows the artist to blend his soul with the virtual colors he chooses to use. Each stroke of his brush or pen or click of a mouse creates the most intense colors with which we create the shape and size of the holographic image for the viewer to enter into. Transdimensionalism breaks away from the physical restraints of traditional art and methods. It is a gateway to the yet unimagined. It is the ultimate ride into the infinite, where everything is possible and all criticism is irrelevant to the artist and his creations. And that's transdimensional art. If you look at the picture that his company is in, if you go to the website and you see the picture that our company is in, it's a signed painting by me, and it's a beautiful lily. That was enhanced by me taking a picture of me, taking a picture that I took of And it was actually a moving picture that I got a television show about a flower show. And I saw this incredible, beautiful flower and a close-up of it. And what I did is I took a picture of it, and then I enhanced that picture, a still picture of it, and I enhanced it through contrast and light and everything, and it turned into this incredibly beautiful picture. So vibrant. Nothing. It doesn't even look like the natural, but it is enhanced like 1,000 times to its just the incredible vibration of the picture. You know? The illusion, the colors, the organic expression, you know, that nature is. And it just explodes on this on the screen, and that's what I caught. And that is transdimensional art. That's yourself rising to a level beyond the norm, beyond your normal reality, you know. And capturing that moment and seeing it, capturing it for the world to see. And what I did is I posted a number of different pictures, enhanced graphics of my own. And, I have one that I'm really proud of. I really love this one. But it's also part of that show that I did. But it's a still transition. It's a transitional, it's a cut that I made within the show of a water lilies and a beautiful Indian weather vane. it's so bizarre. It's a one of a kind, you know, and I signed it so you can see it. But it was that transitional electronically or video transition that I captured, and it was just a perfect still shot, and I have it there. And this is what transdimensionalism is. This is what it is, folks. This is what it is to me. It's capturing what is and what isn't. What is and what isn't. Into what becomes. Alright? As you transition as you transcend to the higher levels of existence that we are headed toward as a world, as humanity, as a time, an era of humanity, we are merging into this Aquarian age. We are merging into this new era. And transitional art, transdimensional art, is projecting that. It's projecting that. It's what I see. It's what I'm trying to put out there. And I'm trying to put out as many images on the internet as I possibly can of this form of art. I mean, if in the next year I can put out 1,000 images. Right now, if you go to my site, if you look up lasteelshow.org and you go to Google and you hit images, you'll see probably, maybe 100 different images that are on my website, and most of them are transitional art, transdimensional art, many of them. So it's catching, and it's beginning to be caught. And I'm hoping that it will be a wave and a movement, just as Impressionism was, or Expressionism was, or any other form of art was. But this is more important because now we're going into the new era of time and into doing digital art work, you know, photography, digital art. We're using the new mediums, okay, of the 21st century. And these things are, you know, and this is what demands a new art form, which is what I'm trying to present. On the 28th of last month, I wrote an article, or an essay. It's called Leading Ourselves. I guess I was trying to express that we must follow ourselves, we must believe in ourselves, and stop believing in other people, you know, other things that are, you know, aren't real. We all know what's real. We just refuse to honor that part of us that understands that we know who we are. Let me explain. Leading ourselves. Like millions of other people around the world, I have a Twitter account. But I dislike using it because I hate the concept of being a follower. Everyone on a Twitter is a follower of someone else. I have broken down and followed a few friends who first followed me. The Twitter concept was new then, but I won't be a follower of someone I don't know. Facebook is different in the sense of everyone is a friend. You may not know them, but you get to know them and become friends if you aren't already. But the concept of friendship is more attractive than the concept of a follower. Followers are stalkers or sheep-like or simply odd. It is as if they enjoy the idea of not thinking for themselves or not having to lead anyone or even lead themselves. This is the problem in this country. No one is willing to think for themselves or lead themselves, but everyone is willing to follow. Justin Bieber has over 15 million followers on Twitter. Ashton Kutcher, the guy who took over Charlie Sheen's job on the Two and a Half Men sitcom, has over 10 million followers on Twitter. But oddly enough, Bieber and Kutcher follow no one on Twitter. I dislike the idea of following anyone. I dislike following my girlfriend around the store or following my dog when I take him for his daily walks. I prefer to lead wherever I go, though I have been told many times by those who try to follow me that I have an impaired sense of direction. It's not because I'm an egotist, though I may be, that I prefer to lead. It is because I get bored quickly and I hate following anyone who is aimlessly wandering around like they don't know where they are going. I don't need to follow someone like that. I can wander just as aimlessly and enjoy it much more. I tolerate following my dog with him on a leash because he always knows where he's going and he and I have a definite purpose and direction to our walks. To follow a mindless political leader or manager or a mindless television anchor trying to direct their narration of the evening news is often too hard for me to tolerate. Everyone should seriously consider becoming leaders if they are not already. Leaders are people who have confidence in themselves and are willing to make decisions that affect their lives and the lives of others. Fathers and mothers must be leaders. However, so many today refuse to be. They allow their children to be unsupervised or neglect them and provide no direction for them other than setting the poorest of examples. Political and military leaders are mind control subjects who lead as if they are brainless cyborgs, leading their countrymen into insane wars and creating insane laws that will only destroy all who follow them. Sorry, guys, but I never follow anyone. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that he never wanted followers. He never wanted disciples. He only wanted men and women to think for themselves and to understand the principles he articulately stated in his famous essay, Self-Reliance, and many others, which inspired the pioneer movement during the early 1800s. We must return to this idea before it is too late. Our leaders must lead our people rightly, courageously, and justly, creating laws that allow Americans to be free to lead their own lives without the heavy shackles of government restraints on our personal freedoms, such as crushing taxes, crushing laws that favor only the wealthy few and burden the rest of Americans, and allow the theft of our treasure and our continued enslavement to bankers. Social programs today are necessary because without them in place, without changing the economic conditions in America and relieving Americans from the crushing burden of taxes and debt, we will free fall into an abyss of poverty, revolution, and dictatorship. Either our leaders lead wisely and righteously, or they will soon be led to prisons. Once the majority of Americans understand what their leaders are doing to them and rebel in a second American revolution. And that's coming soon, people. It's coming very, very soon. Sooner than you know. My good friend, cosmobiologist Bill Marshall, who worked on our FM show for many years, until 2007. He passed away in 2007. Bill predicted that there would be an all-out revolution in the United States in 2015. Now, Bill Marshall predicted, before it happened, he predicted 9/11. And he predicted it the day and the time exactly, a year before it happened. And he went in a newspaper, picked it up, and published that prediction. And it happened as stated at 8:46 on September 11th, 2001. And Bill predicted the death of Saddam Hussein in 2002, even before we declared war on Iraq. He predicted the death of Saddam Hussein in 2003. He also predicted the collapse of the before he died, and he didn't live to see this, but he predicted the collapse of the financial system in the United States in 2009. And his final prediction to me was that, you know, in 2015, the United States would be in a revolution. So I have to believe Bill. And I'll tell you the truth, in a couple of years from now, I mean, it looks like right now, it's 2013, looks like we're headed for a revolution already. But, you know, 2015, you know, looks pretty serious. I wrote this article, it's called The Days of Weathered Reality. I wrote this on the 27th of June. You know, it's been this June and July have been, you know, in Connecticut have been some of the worst weather we've seen. It's been humid and muggy and raining every single day, and in the 80s, high 80s, and low 90s. It's just been extremely hot and humid. And I wrote this article back on the 27th. That was about a week ago. Week and a half ago, and it's on my website, and I put a little picture there too on it to go with it on my website, and it's called Days of Weathered Reality. But this morning is gray and humid. The sun is somewhere unknown to me today, and rain clouds seem to have overtaken the sky. I sense a summer mood advancing over my mind. And I am not sure if it is one of melancholy or simply a reflection of the weather. My reality today is one of reflection of my past and immediate future. I enjoy the thought of creating a new day, but certain natural elements seem to hinder my manifestations. For instance, I want a dry, warm, and sun-filled day. Maybe my desire is being overshadowed by millions of other people's desires for an overcast day, which reflects their mood more than my own. Other people's thoughts do dramatically affect our own, as do their actions. They can become overwhelming and saturate the ether until the entire world is depressed or shocked or alarmed at the latest news or lack of good news. We are all reflections of our minds of what our minds create. When we look in the mirror, we are who we see or want to see. We are seldom what others see us as. But all who focus on the weather generally reflect the mood of the weather. If it is raining, we dress accordingly. If it is hot and humid, we dress accordingly as well. And by doing so, we prepare our minds for what kind of day we will have and begin to visualize what we must do for the day. Most of our reality will be related to our weather, but the world is so big and there are so many people visualizing their own day according to their own weather conditions. I am certain that somewhere in the world today the sun is shining, the air is dry and warm, and those people in that climate are enjoying their day, or at least reflecting the weather. I'm not certain what I must visualize to bring this day more in liking with my desired reality. I guess I'll continue thinking of the sun and blue skies until they finally appear. You know, we can transform our reality. We do it all the time. But we get so immersed in the dictates of the time. the latest weather report. You know what I mean? The weather reports predict our days and our weeks. How are the weeks going to be? Some clown is telling us how the whole week is going to be. I don't believe any of them. They don't seem to be able to predict beyond whatever the day is, much less the 8-day forecast, you know. But my day is what I want it to be. And let's just leave it at that. We had a week ago, Gay Marriage Act with DOMA, Democratization of a Marriage America or something or other Act was approved by the Supreme Court. But also, they got it, at the same time, they gutted the Civil Rights Act of 1965 and denying an individual's right to remain silent. So all of these things, I mean, our Supreme Court has gone out of its mind. It's totally insane. You got 9 insane people, you know, making laws for the rest of our country. I mean, it's totally insane. It's totally crazy. I mean, that these 9 judges, whoever the hell they are, you know, whoever they think they are, have the right to change, to interpret the law for 300 million people. I say up yours, guys. I said, who the hell are you to interpret the laws for me? You got all of these bigoted morons. Jesus, man. You got some of the craziest bastards in the world sitting on that bench. You know, crazy bastards, Alito and Roberts and Thomas and Scalia. Holy crap! Sotomayor. Jesus Christ. Let's not even get into that. But it's like, it's a farce. The Supreme Court is nothing but a farce, right? Anybody who believes in this system is delusional, all right? But let me read this, and maybe it'll make a little more sense to you what I'm trying to get at. They're not just on a rant, but gay marriage, gutting the Civil Rights Act of 1965,
and denying an individual rights to remain silent. The illustrious U.S. Supreme Court has made several odd decisions recently. The first this week was to gut the Civil Rights Act of its basic protections against voter discrimination. Their excuse for that is saying it is out of date and is irrelevant today because there is no discrimination today. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine that asshole Roberts said this? What a moron. Okay? And he said the southern states that have had a long history of discrimination against blacks and minorities immediately applauded the decision and eagerly began placing restrictions on voters in their state. It's amazing. Our Supreme Court is made up of a majority of supreme idiots. The second major decision by the Supreme Court was announced today that gave federal recognition to gay marriages. I have to laugh at the absurdity of the Supreme Court's logic. They deny discrimination in the country exists, then give all gay people the right to legally marry and have all the equality under the heterosexual couples have, even though gay marriage is still banned in 35 states and will remain banned in spite of the federal recognition. It makes no sense, just as the Supreme Court made no sense giving corporations the same status as individuals in political elections. The illustrious court also recently decided that silence can no longer be part of a legal defense, regardless of the Fifth Amendment stating one has the right not to incriminate himself in a court of law. We are in such trouble in this country. Our courts are insane. Our government is made up of greed-driven corporate lackeys, blackmailed by the NSA, and bribed by big corporations. And our president is a dictator entering our military into undeclared wars and assassinating American citizens, illegally spying on American citizens, allowing his banker cronies to steal from the U.S. Treasury as the American people remained apathetic, jobless, homeless, ignorant, and helpless. But hey, gay people can get married now. Yeah. Strange. So strange, folks. I hate to be cynical, but hey, that's the way it is, man. I got a little clip by Ron Paul, a speech in Congress. A man I rather respect until he gave up and just said, screw it, guys. You know, I can't do it. Yeah, I'm not going to run for president. You guys are crazy. Ron Paul gave his 5-minute speech in Congress that I'm going to play tonight. America is gone. A Ron Paul speech in Congress. It says Ron Paul is right and has been throughout his career in Congress. Unfortunately, no one listened to him until it was too late. This is a sad eulogy for a once great country. With a new amnesty bill, new wars, new lies and cover-ups, and an economic collapse, we now know how everything this current administration and the previous administrations and Congresses have sold out the American people. However, the greatest offenses of treason were not committed by our government. They were committed by the American people against themselves through their apathy and blind ignorance and faith in the two-party political system and the horrid leaders they allowed to lead us. It may be too late for America. It may be too late for the world. Our last hope for freedom and just government lies with us. We must act now to wake up to what is happening and stop diddling with iPhones and iPads and start stating idiotic mantras of America is great, America is righteous, America is free. The America we know and love is gone and will never again be restored unless Americans unite in patriotic rage and take back their country and reestablish the rights we have lost. By ridding the White House and Congress of crooks and thieves and traitors and rid the Supreme Court of corporate-owned lackeys, we can do it. But we must understand what is happening to us. Unless we do awaken and resist, we will become broken spirits, broken people who will not be able to resist our oppressors.
I wrote that as a prologue to the speech by Ron Paul. The speech is entitled, America's Gone. And here it goes. It's about 5 minutes long. Address to Congress.
Of the American Republic. Yet Congress remains in total denial as our liberties are rapidly fading before our eyes. The process is propelled by unwarranted fear and ignorance as to the true meaning of liberty. It is driven by economic myths, fallacies, and irrational good intentions. The rule of law is constantly rejected, and authoritarian answers are offered as panaceas for all our problems. Runaway welfareism is used to benefit the rich at the expense of the middle class. Who would have ever thought that the current generation and Congress would stand idly by and watch such a rapid disintegration of the American Republic? Characteristic of this epic event is the casual acceptance by the people and the political leaders of the unitary presidency, which is equivalent to granting dictatorial powers to the president. Our presidents can now, on their own, order assassinations, including American citizens, operate secret military tribunals, engage in torture, enforce indefinite imprisonments without due process, order searches and seizures without proper warrants, gutting the Fourth Amendment, ignore the 60-day rule for reporting to the Congress the nature of any military operation as required by the War Powers Resolution, continue the Patriot Act abuses without oversight, wage war at will, treat all Americans as suspected terrorists at airports with TSA groping and nude x-raying. And the Federal Reserve accommodates by counterfeiting the funds needed and not paid for by taxation and borrowing, permitting runaway spending, endless debt, and special interest bailouts. And all of this is not enough. The abuses and usurpations of the war power are soon to be codified in the National Defense Authorization Act, now rapidly moving its way through Congress. Instead of repealing the 2001 authorization for the use of military force, as we should, now that bin Laden is dead and gone, Congress is planning to massively increase the war power of the president. Though an opportunity presents itself to end the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, Congress, with bipartisan support, obsesses on how to expand the unconstitutional war power of the president he already holds. The current proposal would allow a president to pursue war anytime, any place, for any reason, without congressional approval. Many believe this would even permit military activity against American suspects here at home. The proposed authority does not reference the 9/11 attacks. It would be expanded to include the Taliban and associated forces, a dangerously vague and expansive definition of our potential enemies. There is no denial that the changes in Section 1034 totally eliminates the hard-fought-for restraint on presidential authority to go to war without congressional approval achieved at the Constitutional Convention. Congress's war authority has been severely undermined since World War II, beginning with the advent of the Korean War, which was fought solely under a UN resolution. Even today, we're waging war in Libya without even consulting with the Congress, similar to how we went to war in Bosnia in the 1990s under President Clinton. The three major reasons for our constitutional conventions were to guarantee free trade and travel among the states, make gold and silver legal tender, and abolish paper money, and strictly limit the executive branch's authority to pursue war without congressional approval. But today, Federal Reserve notes are legal tender, gold and silver are illegal. The Interstate Commerce Clause is used to regulate all commerce at the expense of the free trade among the states. And now, the final nail is placed in the coffin of congressional responsibility for the war power, delivering this power completely to the president, a sharp and huge blow to the concept of our republic. In my view, it appears that the fate of the American Republic is now sealed, unless these recent trends are quickly reversed. The saddest part of this tragedy is that all of these horrible changes are being done in the name of patriotism and protecting freedom. They are justified by good intentions while believing the sacrifice of liberty is required for our safety. Nothing could be further from the truth. More sadly is the conviction that our enemies are driven to attack us for our freedoms and prosperity and not because of our deeply flawed foreign policy that has generated justifiable grievances and has inspired the radical violence against us. Without this understanding, our endless, unnamed, and undeclared wars will continue and our wonderful experiment with liberty will end. And I yield back the balance of my...
That was a couple of years ago, but relevant today, and now nothing has changed. Except not only are we in... we're not in Syria anymore. We're now in... not in Libya anymore. We're now in Syria and Yemen. There's something like 74 different wars that we're fighting at this time, different countries in Africa and all over the world. But, hey, you know, that's the way it is, right, folks? I don't know. I don't think I played this. I may have, but yeah, I did play this. I didn't play it on a Thursday night program. It may be worth playing again. Especially on tonight's show. I got two more things I'd like to... let's go to something new, and then I'd like to end tonight's show with a really, really pretty song, and I'll do that. So, I wrote a called A New Thought. I wrote this in last week of June, and those thoughts are like landmines. I never know when I'm going to think of a thought that will explode into an article or essay or picture or music. Some thoughts are like nuclear power thoughts that create a powerful explosion of works, then others are more like lightning, lighting a fuse of small fireworks that ignite into multicolored emotions or ideas that explode in my mind and produce chain explosions of essays, songs, or pictures. Today my thoughts are revolving around my motivation. I am motivated to write an essay about thoughts. Experiences are wonderful things that we all have and think about. In fact, our experiences produce the majority of our thoughts and actions. I learned how to write and read, and those experiences have created countless thoughts and works. Today my thoughts are focused on my readers. I appreciate my readers. I enjoy sharing my thoughts with you. And I appreciate my radio listeners for the same reason. Sharing thoughts is the only way people communicate. Without communicating our thoughts to someone, we are all alone and isolated from the world. And here in my study, I can communicate to thousands of people around the world without physically meeting them or publicly speaking to them in an auditorium. As I write my thoughts, I have the quietness of mind today to hear my heart speak to me. Today my thoughts are calm, my body and mind are rested from a night's sleep, and I'm not disturbing myself by thinking about all the terrible things happening around the world. I have shared many disturbing thoughts to my readers and radio listeners over the years, but today my thoughts are of peace, appreciation, and friendship. A good friend contacted me on Facebook yesterday. He just joined and sent me a frequent request. I was pleased to hear from him and immediately confirmed our friendship and sent him a picture of us both happy and shaking hands and smiling at the camera. I miss my old friends, but try not to impose on them or on their lives. I never know if I'm too imposing or insensitive or intoxicated until I'm told I am. Some friends fall away and others move away and others stay silent for long periods of time for some reason and do not respond to your messages until they are ready to speak to you. We are all this way to some degree. I will end this post today by saying hello to my friends and all who may have come to visit me after a long absence. I hope all is well with you and your families, and whatever kept you away is now over. My best, L.A. Steele. And there was a really beautiful, beautiful song that I listened to last month, and I said, wow, and I posted the YouTube video. It was playing for change, the song, but I posted the video on my website. It's called Tenía Tanto, Tina Tanto Cuidarte, and They Had Both. It's by Nina De Conte. All right, and it's such a beautiful song, and she's playing this in a public square, okay, in Spain, I believe, and with a violinist and with a guitar player, and I hope you enjoy it. It's just a beautiful song, and even if you don't understand Spanish, which I don't, it's still just a beautiful song that I hope to share with you tonight. So let's listen to this, and we'll be back shortly after. Tenía Tanto Cuidarte, They Had Both, by Nina De Conte.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really a pretty song. And really pretty song. We're almost done, and I was able to get through most of what I wanted to talk to you tonight about. I'm hoping that everything goes well for us in the near future, and I'm hoping that we can, I guess, translate all of this to better times. But just don't understand that we are going through these very strange times. And I don't think we are going to survive them in a way that, you know, is conducive to non-violence or non-revolution. I think we're going to see a revolution. I believe we're going to be in a revolution. And I think my good friend Bill Marshall, his prediction may have been correct. He was an astrologer of remarkable gifts. And, you know, I give him all credit. Now, I wonder sometimes what he would say now if he was still alive. But as a tribute to my good friend, I have to nod to his genius and say my belief is that very, very possible we will be seeing a revolution in the next few years. So from that point, I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight and this week. Please review my other two shows with Lila last Tuesday and Wednesday. And, you know, hopefully there's a lot of information we've covered. And a lot of information that you should know. And we hope that you'll go back and listen to them. But, and in the meantime, please take a look at my website. I think you'll enjoy the art that I put up there. I hope you do. And give you an idea of where the transdimensional art is going and what I'm talking about. And good night, everyone. Thank you.